But we're going to come to a close with our character of Asa this morning, the first of our kings of Reformation. And I've heard a few sermons on the last bit of Asa's life before. And all of those sermons have had that theme of it's not how you start, it's how you finish. But I'm going to say this morning, I think that's bunkum. And I'm going to show why through the Word of God today. Because I think that in itself has become almost like a distraction, and it can almost become like a weight upon our lives that is so outside of the gospel. So we can have a look at Asa's end. That doesn't sound good. Apologies online if you don't know what I'm on about. We'll look at the end of his life. And yes, we will see that, you know, some of the decisions he made in his latter life were not good. And because of that, there were repercussions. And as with all of us, we will make decisions that can have repercussions. But it isn't about the repercussions. So I'm going to read 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And it's only 14 verses. But it's quite a sad bringing to a close of this man who had brought God back into his community. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha king of Israel came up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might let none go out or come in to Asa king of Judah. Then Asa brought silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the king's house. And he sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, "Let there be a treaty between you and me, as there was between my father and your father. See, I have sent you silver and gold. Come, break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me." So Ben-Hadad heeded King Asa. And he sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they attacked Ejon, Dan, Abel-Maim, and all the storage cities of Naphtali. Now it happened when Baasha heard it that he stopped building Ramah and ceased his work. And then King Asa took all Judah, and they carried away the stones and timber of Ramah, which Baasha had used for building. And with them he built Geba and Mizpah. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and he said to him, "Because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied upon the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore from now on you shall have wars." And then Asa was angry with the seer, and he put him in prison. For he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. Note that the acts of Asa, first and last, are indeed written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So Asa rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign, and they buried him in his own tomb, which he had made for himself in the city of David. And they laid him in the bed, which was filled with spices and various ingredients, prepared in a mixture of ointment, and they made a very great burning for him. So as you can see, it is a very sad closure to the book of this king. A king who we've read over these weeks discovered something of God. And in discovering something of God, his heart turned towards him, and in turning towards him, he didn't only affect his own life, he affected the life of the whole of Judah. And not just the whole of Judah. There were those in Israel who heard about this man, who heard about his faith, little lights in the dark north of Israel that thought, what a great king he is. At last there is a king who is after God. And because of that, even they came over to him. And they helped him. And they worshipped with him. And they pulled down a lot of the high places with him. And they dealt with some of the situations with him. They stood together in their pursuit of the purposes of God. But Asa was a mere man. And when you are part of humanity, the sad thing is we are all part of that fallen race. And when you are part of that fallen race, you cannot make God decisions 100% of the time. At least I don't think you can. I think only Christ ever stood in that place of making God decisions 100% of the time. That's why he was the perfect Lamb of God. You know, even he was tempted. And yet he was without sin. So you imagine Jesus in his temptations, he sweat drops of blood, but he was without sin. How can mere man stand in that position of being in the realm of temptation and not sin? It is not possible. You know, if any of us think that is possible, to walk that incredible life of purity and that amazing place and position of perfection for the rest of our days, you know, we are in some doolally land out there somewhere. It is never going to happen. It is never going to happen. We need God. We need God. Because every single one of us are exposed to the enemy. We're exposed to ourselves, and we are exposed to sin. And because of that, we will find ourselves tripping up. And even at his pinnacle, when he was doing great things and even dealing with his mother-in-law and dealing in her situation and dealing with her high places and even affecting his family and dealing with the issues that were there and the sins in the land, it still says this in 2 Chronicles 15, 17. But the high places were not removed from Israel. So even in his greatest moments, he didn't deal with everything. And in a sense, you can't. You know, we might think that we've dealt with an area of our lives where we're weak, and God has helped us to be strong. But there are always other depths of our heart. There are always other high places that are within our lives and within our hearts. So we might think it's great today because we helped somebody. We helped an old lady cross the road. You know, maybe we were nice and kind to someone that we don't really like. And when we do these good deeds, it's almost like we think God and all the angels are going to stand by the side of the roads and go, hey, well done. Well done, you. You know, you've actually helped somebody. Oh, you've actually smiled today during a miserable day. Well done. In a sense, he does. You know, we've already read today, and, you know, I love that verse in Zephaniah that I read, Word of the Week. And I think it's been Word of the Week 100 times. That, you know, he rejoices over us. He comes over us with singing. You know, there's a sense of pride in God's heart. So yes, God does look over our lives and go, well done. But you know, it's not for the things we do. It's not because we've just been good today. You know, sometimes as a parent, you know, it's nice seeing Alison and Matthew have a nice hug down here around the table. But you know, that hug is deserved because he is just Matthew. It isn't because of what he's done. And you know, he does some good things. You know, you're looking at a fully qualified young man over there. Well, nearly fully qualified, as he keeps saying. But he passed his final exam this week. Yeah. Ooh, look at that. I know, he's the richest man in the Rhondda. Absolutely amazing. But you know, pass or fail, he is loved. And we stand along the side of his road going, Matthew, we love you. And we sing over him. Well, he hopes we don't sing over him. But God has that heart for us, and it isn't about the stuff we've done. And yet we think it is. We think this whole Christian thing is, we've had a good day, God is chuffed. But he just loves us. He just loves us. And here is Asa. He's done all of these incredible things in the land, but you know, and again, it's those small words which Sophie's done some brilliant messages on. But the high place. It's almost like the writer to the Chronicles wanted you to get a message. He hasn't quite dealt with that. But the high places were not removed. Sometimes in life, what we find is at your highest place, you can almost be at your weakest place. What about King David? You know, King David thinking everything is good, jolly and dandy. You know, he's king over the nation. Everything is fantastic. Everything is absolutely amazing. He sent all of his men off to war. And to preen himself, he thinks he'll go upstairs and have a great look across his kingdom. Because he is God's man. And instead of looking up to the stars and thanking God, he espies a naked woman. So even David, a man after God's own heart, you know, surely when God writes something like that about you in his word, you're going to be the sort of man who looks away at such sights. I'm a man after God's heart. Oh, blind me, God, I don't want to look anymore. Such filth in my kingdom. You are so pure. But even David, at that moment of the pinnacle of his kingdom life, espies a woman, and he looks, and he looks, and he looks, and before you know it, that high place in his heart has not been removed. And David falls. And Asa is the same. You know, he's seen what it is to have God give him great victories. But it's almost like at this pinnacle of his life, he becomes weak. And sometimes when everything is good, you've got great health, you've got all the money that you need. And you see it in the nation of Israel time and time again. When everything is good, they stop relying on God. You know, the nation's at peace. Everything is wonderful. Nobody's coming against us. And your heart can get a little puffed up. Because you've got this other king of Israel. And as we said, the kings of Israel were always a bit rough. And I love that, you know, his name. I always want to call him Baasha. He is the King Baasha. Because it's almost like he's jealous here. Some of his people are going over to this other king. Jealousy arises. And almost Trump-like, he wants to build a wall. I wonder if this is where President Trump gets his idea from. From King Baasha. He wants to build a wall to stop his people going over to this other king. So he builds Ramah, that none will go out or come in to Asa, the king of Judah. So Asa panics. I like the attention of more people, he thinks. It's wonderful that they want to come over and join me. Come on and join us. We've got a wonderful club here in Judah. Come across. Oh, we are the most amazing people. Yes, how dare he stop them? But what can I do? So all of the great treasures that his father had, that he had given to the Lord in the temple, all of a sudden he gets those treasures out of the house of the Lord. And he goes to the king of Syria, who was living in Damascus, a man called Ben-Hadad. And with all of this great silver and gold, all of this great bribe, he says to Ben-Hadad, let's make a treaty. I know my dad made a treaty with you and you were sympathetic to him. So let's make a treaty together, and that will weaken this Baasha. It will weaken him, and in weakening him, he will stop building this wall, and in stop building this wall, all of those extra people can come over to my kingdom. All of them can come into my land. So Ben-Hadad looks at this silver and gold, and he thinks, this looks like a good deal here. I don't mind helping for a little bit of gold. A little bit of silver. So he joins King Asa. And he comes against the cities of Israel. And it weakens Israel. So much so that King Baasha, he hears this, he stops building Ramah, he ceases the work, and because of this, Asa then goes in, carries away the stones, and this wall is broken down. And Asa must have thought, another great victory. An incredible victory has been won this day. But you know, when there's victories done in the strength of flesh, there's some annoying prophets around. And we've already met one prophet who just dips in and out of this one story and is not mentioned anywhere else in Scripture. Now we're going to meet another one. His name is Hanani. Hanani the seer. Now, they used to say in college, what's the difference between a seer and a prophet? My explanation is prophets prophesy, seers see. I hope that helps. So Hanani sees something in God. It's put upon his heart. God shows him what has gone on. And you know, here is a warning for every single one of us. Because when we're at our pinnacles, we can all be in this place where we think we can sail on in our own strength because everything is good. In verse 7 of chapter 16, it says, at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and he said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and you haven't relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied upon the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. You did not rely on the Lord your God. You know, we need to look to God for everything in life. You know, Paul in his life said, there are times when I have much and there's time when I have little. There's times when I am blessed and there's times when I'm not blessed. But through it all, Paul realized that it was about standing in the grace of God. Your grace is sufficient for me. It is that place and position in Christ that is important. And it's that we need to cultivate. And we need to make sure that our eyes are fixed upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, through everything that we are going through. David wrote in Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. There are some that trust in the power. There are some that trust in the horses and the chariots. There are some who look to the things of this world. And we need to make sure in our lives that that is a warning for us. We need to make sure in everything we stay focused on the purpose of God. That God is our all in all. In Isaiah 30 verse 2, who walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked my advice, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. For his princes were at Zoan and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people who could not benefit them, or be help, or benefit, but a shame and also a reproach. There are those who trust in the power of Egypt, but they do not look to the strength of their God. So yes, the message that Hananiah brings is a strong message. A message that hits home to the heart of this man who just earlier had gone through a place of battle and had trusted in God with all of his heart. Here's the background for that. In 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 8. Said Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah who carried shields and spears, and from Benjamin 280,000 men who carried shields and drew bows. All these were mighty men of valor. And then Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, and he came to Marashah. Someone's always got to say a bigger number, haven't they? You always find that in pastors' meetings. Try not to be the first person to be asked, how big is your church? Because the other person will always add 20. So when they say to you, what size church do you belong to? And you say 25. They've always got 50. They've always got more than you. Happens every time, every pastor's meeting. It's one of those, look, I'm bigger than you. I've got a bigger church. Here we are. It sounds quite impressive. Asa's got 300,000 from Judah. Oh, that's quite a lot. But there are also 280,000 carrying shields and bows. A lot of men. Zerah the Ethiopian. 1,000,000 men. 300 chariots. You went first. Asa, you named your number first. I've got 1,000,000. So what do you do? Asa went out against him. They set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zaphathar of Marashah. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God. And he said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you. And in your name we go against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. See the difference? So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah. And the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and his people who were with him pursued them. I love stories like that. Let's run after them to make it look good. God has sent them away, but let's do a bit of running anyway. Ah, get out of here, you lot. You know, it's like when the cavalry turn up, isn't it? And the battle's already been won by John Wayne. You know, they come at the last minute with all of their banners and all of their guns. We won a great victory today, John, didn't we? Get off your horse and drink your milk, you know. He's just done it all. God has done it all. But let's do a bit of running anyway. After all, we've turned up with a spear. We've got our shields. So let's run after them. So the Ethiopians were overthrown and they could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army. So Asa knew what it was to put God first. And that's why Hanani says to him, don't you remember? Don't you remember? The Ethiopians were much bigger than what you're facing now. Much bigger. You came to God and you could do a bit of running. But you forgot to turn to the Lord. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he, cool, Ben, I'll say that. Wrong version of the Bible there that we do not use. And he shall direct your paths. You trusted in yourself, Asa. Now, Asa could have said, oh, you know, I'm really sorry about this. Oh, I repent. But instead, it says he got angry. He was furious with Hanani. How dare you? We won a battle today. How very dare you? So he threw him into prison. And then he thought, I'll oppress some people as well. Now, a lot of people say then it's because of that that God then thought, I'll give you a disease. It doesn't say that. But what we do read is a very sad ending for this man's life. A man that did so much for God. A man who stood at the place of battle and won a great victory over 1 million Ethiopians. A man who dealt with family issues that have been there for years. His father couldn't deal with them. His grandfather couldn't deal with them. He dealt with them. He stood up for God. And because he stood up for God, people of Israel could see God in him. But one mistake. He takes his eyes off God. He does not seek him. And he even imprisons the voice of this man, Hanani. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet. And his malady, it was severe. This was a terrible, terrible disease that he had. But even in this place, his heart had sank so far to the depths, even there He did not seek the Lord, but only the physicians. And then 2 years later, in the 41st year of his reign, Asa rested with his fathers. He died. For the last 2 years of his life, he lived in pain. For the last 2 years of his life, he suffered. Now, of course, like the disciples, we could say, oh, was it because of his father's sins? Was it because of his mother's sins? Or was it because of his own sins that he had these bad feet? You know, the scriptures doesn't blame his sin. It's just a very tragic, painful, sad end to this man who had done so much for God. And of course those old sermons, they used to come and say, oh, you know, there you are. You know, Asa totally blew it. All of that good work was undone. It's not about how you start a job, it's about how you finish it. And of course, that message was piled on us then to say, you better make sure you live for God totally, utterly, every day of your life. Never blemish, never make a mistake, never sin, never do anything wrong. Make sure you get it right. Because that's the people God is looking for. Perfect specimens of Christian. You know, you can hear sermons like that, but I don't know about you. I can feel the weight of a message like that. Because you think to yourself, I better get it right every single day because I can live for him for 300 days and then on my final day, blow it and God is going to send me away. And that's how that message is brought over. It's like, you know, yeah, you can be a great, great leader of God. You can do amazing things for God. You can even do miracles. But if in the last week of your life, you totally mess up. And, you know, even in the past, it'd be things like, even if he finds you in the cinema, he's not going to take you to heaven. It doesn't matter if you preached his gospel, won 10,000 to Christ. If he finds you drinking wine, you've had it. And on Thursday, you know, you can make all of these great vows towards God, but in that last moment of your life, you cut your hair, you drink wine, and you touch a dead body. You're in trouble. And God's like, here's my list. Where's the rubber, Gabriel? Rub his name out of the book of life. Oh, so disappointed in you. You're banished into the pit. But you know, that is not the message of the gospel. Amen. That is not the message that we live under. That is not the hope that there is in Christ. Because this, how many times do we all say it's not about me, but it's so funny that we make it about us. Oh, you know, if he was a part of our congregation, we would say, oh, you know, he was a nice man until those last few years. He blew it. Oh, I wonder if he is in eternity. But there's one verse that we began with in this quest with Asa that I'm going to close with in this story. We could close with his failures. But this is what I believe God wants us to get out of his life. 1 Kings 15, verse 14. But the high places were not removed. He's failed. But there's a big little word here. Nevertheless. Yes. Those last days were not good. He didn't seek the Lord. He was terrible to that seer, that prophet. He dealt with his own people. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was loyal to the Lord all his days. All his days. His heart was loyal to the... Even when he was making the wrong decisions, his heart was loyal to the Lord. Even when he was diseased in his feet and not able to walk and going through all of that crippling pain that so many people think is because of his sins. His heart was loyal to the Lord all of his days. You see, it's not about what we do. It's about what Christ has done for us. It is about his abiding in our hearts and abiding in our lives and abiding in everything that we do. And, you know, Jesus has done it all. You know, we said it on Thursday night. Jesus has done it all. He's paid the fullness of the price. I haven't got to impress God anymore. You know, some of the things I do might impress you. And some of the things I do will disappoint you. But that is not the level of salvation and how I'm going to be judged by God. God is going to see Christ in me. And when I stand before him, he's not going to say, "You blew it at the end." He's going to say, "My good and faithful servant. Your heart was loyal all your days." But God, be quiet. You know, like he was with the prodigal. Blown it. And it's like he wanted to get all the stories out of the things he'd done wrong. And it's like the father's like, "Yeah, I know all that. Be quiet. Get the robe. Slay the fatted calf. Those best shoes, bring them, put them on those dirty feet. Just bring them. Come, bring. Because this son of mine who's blown it, he's blown the whole inheritance. Let's have a party. Because he was lost. But now he's found. He's found. Because even when he was in the sty of the pigs eating their pods, I could see really his heart was loyal to me all of his days. But Big Brother's like, "Oh, hang on a minute. He's done A, he's done B, he's done C. He doesn't deserve anything. He doesn't deserve the grade C chicken from Asda, never mind the battered calf." You have the grade C chickens, they're nice, aren't they? Oh, Asda, you've got to get in. Yeah, I haven't got England in yet. Oh, there we are. But there we are. You know, he slays the fatted calf. It's the best of the best of the best of the best. Because he's his son. In the pods. He's his son. When he wasted his inheritance. He's his son. When he made all of those bad decisions. He's his son. King Asa blew it. Hang on a minute, God says, I know. I know. You're not telling me anything new. But his heart was loyal to me all his day, yet he struggled. He's human. He's not a perfect machine. You know, David, human. He's not perfect in every way. But his heart. His heart. His heart was loyal to me. Father, I thank you that in a sense it's not about our story and how we close, it's about your story. Because the incredible thing is, you have already closed the story. And when we come to you, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And although the enemy sways and he tries to convince you that some of these names need to be rubbed out of the book, you died once for all. This salvation that we have is nothing of ourselves, but it's all of you. Thank you, Jesus, that you forgive the mistakes that we make. And that you are ready to welcome us into the gates of heaven and into the realms of eternity. Just as I believe you welcomed Asa, and it wasn't about how he finished, it was about a heart that, although he made mistakes, he was determined to live for God as best he could. You never forgot that. You could see a heart that was loyal all his days. Thank you, Lord, that you see into our hearts, you see into our lives. We're not judged by our actions and the things that we do. We're judged by Christ and through Christ and in Christ. Thank you, Lord. As I've already prayed this morning, thank you, Lord, for such a great salvation. Lord, it just comes to my lips. I just can't comprehend it sometimes. But thank you. Thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for love. And as we sang near the beginning, thank you for the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you.